I got an aunt named Elaine. She was married to my favorite uncle, Uncle Jimmy. Uncle Jimmy was a preacher. Aunt Elaine was a singing piano player. And she heard me sing one day. She said, "George, you have to marry a singing woman." Yeah. So I did. Lord worked that out for us. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time to meet with you, Lord. Father, I pray that as your servant decreases, this lump of clay decreases, Lord, you would increase. Lord, speak to our hearts. Father, open our blinded eyes and mend our broken hearts and set us free from our captivities and bondages. Deliver us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I was born in 1964, the youngest son to the youngest son of three. The grandson born to the youngest son of eight. So for three generations in my family, the youngest son has been a preacher. Now, Sugar and I have three sons. That third one, y'all need to pray for him. But we're claiming him as a preacher of the gospel too. Why? Why? Because we believe God has called some men and some women, has called some throughout the ages to proclaim his glory. He didn't call everybody to pastor. He didn't call everybody to be a preacher. But he called everybody to be a disciple maker. Men and women alike, he called them to be a disciple maker. He called you, if you've been born again. How many of y'all been born again? Don't lie. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. I didn't make you uncomfortable, did I? Okay, good. I'm sorry. But it's important and it's glorious. It's wonderful. It's to be celebrated, to be born again. Jesus has this conversation with a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was an older man. In the third chapter of John, you'll find this. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at nighttime. He's afraid to just meet him in the daylight and let everybody know that he's talking to Jesus. Because all his friends weren't following Jesus. Some of them were plotting to kill him. But Nicodemus gets to Jesus and they have this conversation. And he wants to know, you know, how is it that you do these things, Rabbi? What's the secret to your success? And Jesus pointedly says to him, Nicodemus, how is it that you're a ruler in the synagogue and you don't know these things yourself? How's that possible? Why aren't you discipling? Why aren't you following me, Nicodemus? And that conversation led to one of the great transformations in a person's life. In fact, when you look at the resurrection, you see Joseph of Arimathea coming to the tomb. And who else? Nicodemus. Because he got born again. He's not the same that he used to be. When you raised your hand, you identified yourself as folk that have been born again. Which means that your life has changed in the mortal and the immortal. We sang a song about death and victory. Remember that? Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Remember that? We saw. I like a church that'll preach about heaven and hell. Sing about it. I like that. Yeah. See, I came up in a Baptist church. I was ordained in a Baptist church in 1988. I was ordained. I was pastoring in 1989. And I've been preaching and teaching ever since. Because in 1985... somebody started witnessing to me real strong. And in 1986, I got born again. See, I'd been in the preacher's house all my life. See, if just being around Christian folk would have done it, it was done. Because I was there. I'm third generation. I've been in it. All my friends, my dad's friends and stuff, they were all preachers. All the wives, preachers' wives. Everybody came over the house. I ain't never seen people eat so much chicken on a Sunday. My brother's a real smart guy. He's a TV guy now. Y'all ever see a TV show called Live PD? You ever seen that? Live PD on A&E? All right, the black guy on there, that's my brother. And so one day he figures he's going to do the math and figure out how many chickens we've eaten at our table in the last 20 years. And it was an astronomical figure. Because all these preachers, but being, how many of you know, being around Christian folk won't save you. Coming into church won't save you. It'll put you in the proximity to be saved. It'll put you around folk that can lead you to Jesus. But when you get born again, it's because you sneak up to Jesus by yourself and you say, tell me, how does this really work, Lord? I got a question for you. How do I change the life I've been living? Eventually, you got to get to that. And I asked God earlier this morning. I said, Lord, send somebody to your cross this morning. I don't care, Lord, whether it's for the first time or they've been walking with you but fell away and started up that hill and started sliding back down. You know, I'm backsliding. You know, I know that a backslider. You know, they once were up here tight, but then they got loose and they started sliding back. Might be in the house today. If you are, you're in the right place at the right time. Don't leave. You're in the right place. Don't go nowhere. This is for you. Nicodemus could get changed. You can too. You can get born again. Those things you used to do, they'll disappear. Drinking, smoking, running around doing wild, crazy things, cussing folk out, acting ugly, spreading rumors, telling lies. Come on, all that stuff. See, I can talk about all that stuff because I did all that stuff. I got delivered and saved from all that stuff. I'm not a good man. Don't get it twisted. I'm not. I've been born again. I jumped from sinner to saint because of Jesus. He was the bridge that I walked across. It wasn't religion. It wasn't philosophy. It wasn't a heap of good works. How many of y'all know you can't earn this thing? Rich young ruler came to Jesus one day. He said, good master. Jesus said, oh, wait a minute. Why are you calling me good? He said, the only one good is God. Rich young ruler wanted to know, what do I have to do to earn eternal life? How much does it cost me? Here's a blank check, Jesus. You put the amount in and I'll walk away saved. What's the number? Jesus said, oh, I tell you what. Why don't you do this? Why don't you go back and sell everything you got and give it away? Then come back and see me. You can't earn this. Man went away sad. You don't have to do that today. You don't have to leave out of here sad. You can leave out of here so happy. People look at you and wonder, what in the world are y'all serving up in that church? Because folk get born again. Because this is what we know. This is what we know. That when Paul said it in Hebrews 4:7, he said, today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. He told them in Hebrews 4:12, he said, the word of God is living. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It will separate joint from marrow, soul from spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. And in him, nothing is hidden. I can't hide. I never forget, we used to have this football coach. His name was Ruffin McNeil at Virginia. He came in, one of his famous phrases was, he'd say, real recognize real. Just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. See, the word of God will expose, but it's a good exposure. Because his intent is for you, and we know this, his intent is for you to be just like him and to be as one with him. Jesus declared it in John 17:20-23. He said in this great prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night that he's being betrayed, the day before he's going up on that cross, going to wear that crown of thorns. That day, Jesus, that night rather, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, and he's having this cardio experience where sweat like blood is coming out of his forehead. But he's praying. What's he praying about? In John 17:20, he's praying for you. Because he says, there are three phases to this little prayer he does. The first phase of it is he's praying about himself. He says, Lord, if the cup can pass, let it pass. If I don't have to go on that cross, let's find another way. And there was no answer. So he kept going. He said, okay, then I'm going to pray for my disciples. Pray, Lord, that you would make them as one just like you and I are one. And then in the third part of that prayer in John 17, he prays for you and me. He prays, and I'm just paraphrasing a little bit, but he says, Lord, for the ones who are going to believe, because the disciples made disciples. Make them like one too. So see, I don't have to wonder whether or not Jesus wants you saved. Everybody. I don't have to worry about the athletes at the university. Does he want them saved? I don't worry. No. I don't pray, Lord, do you want that coach saved? Do you want those players? I don't have to pray that prayer. I already know. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 19, he said, go out and make disciples of all nations. Teach them everything I taught you. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I'll go with you. I'll go with you, even to the end of the age. I don't have to wonder. My jury's been dismissed. Yeah, I sent my jury home. I saw enough evidence to know that Jesus is real. And he's the only one that could solve this problem I have, the eternal separation from God because of sin. He was the only one that could solve it. He was the only one perfect. So you're looking at a man who still believes in the virgin birth. I believe that Jesus was born of Mary and Mary was a virgin. I believe that. Because without that reality, I can't be born again by his blood. Because it took perfect blood to do that. But the perfect blood of Jesus, through an immaculate conception, produced a perfect human being. So that he who knew no sin was made to be sin for me and you, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. That's some good news this morning for you. You've been rescued from the flames of an eternal hell. People get mad at me sometimes. They say, why are you talking about hell, George? Why got to talk about hell? Stick to heaven. Stick to heaven, George. I said, because the gospel is the good news in the light of the bad news. If all I tell you is the good news, you don't realize what you got saved from. I said, well, I don't want a God that's going to kick people out of heaven. I said, I don't either. I want a God that won't let sin in. I said, God ain't sending folk to hell. No, God is holy. Sin is unholy. God is holy. Heaven is pure. Sin is impure. God kicked sin out of hell, out of heaven once. He kicked it out. He ain't letting it back in. So today, the God I serve is not sending souls to hell. There's just nowhere else for them to go when they die if they haven't been born again while they're walking and talking and breathing in this life. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Simple. I'm a simple-minded preacher. Let me get to this text real quick. Here, look at this. Ephesians chapter 1. This is the meat of it. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm sorry, 5. Ephesians 5, verse 1. 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God. It's a remarkable thing that these epistles, they're amazing to me. Because they're written by a rabbi who got converted to a Christian preacher. How about that? A Jewish rabbi got converted to be a Christian preacher. Paul. He used to call him Saul. He got saved and gave him a nickname. Changed one letter. Therefore, be imitators of God. As dearly loved children and walk in love, as the Messiah also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrifice, a fragrant offering to God. That's what he did. Why would he do that? Simple answer for me is because he loves us, but he loves us perfectly. I'll never forget, it was the end of football, basketball season for us. My basketball season ended down in North Carolina. Don't get nervous. It's just a hammer. It went down in we had the number one basketball team in the country at the University of Virginia. And it's funny because we really weren't that good. Man for man, pound for pound, we weren't that good. It was together we were something special. There's a sermon in that one too. And so we get to the, we'd won the ACC championship. They give me a nice little ring. We win that. They got this thing here. It's a testimony. That's not a trophy. But it, we come to the game and we get hooked. I mean, they beat us from the floor all the way to the rooftop. It was just amazing. And the clock's ticking down, and it's clear. Virginia ain't going to win this game. And history is going to be made. A 16 seed had never beaten a number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament in its history until this day. We were the number one team in the nation coming to this tournament. We had won the ACC regular season. We had won the ACC tournament. We got Tony Bennett. Tony Bennett. And we're about to lose. And as the clock is ticking, I turn around, I look up in the stands, and I see a player, former player up there with his wife, and I walked up a few rows and put my arm around him. I said, "Man, this is fantastic, isn't it?" He said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, look, you see the wood right there? See the wood? Can you see the cross that Jesus was nailed to?" I said, look, see the rim? See the iron rim up there? Can you see the nails that were driven in his hands? Can you see the nets? And hear him call from the beach, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." Can you hear it? Perspective changed. So we went, the game's over, we lose, we're in the locker room. Coach comes in, he says, "You know what?" He says, "Guys, listen, I didn't give you a good enough plan to win this thing. I'm sorry. That was my fault. But I want to talk to you about something more important than that. That's your identity. You can't let your identity be tied to the scoreboard. It's got to be nailed to something heavier than that." They knew exactly what he was talking about. Y'all know what he's talking about too, don't you? Yeah. Because in Genesis 1:26, this is what the Bible says, that then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." That's his original intent. That when the chips are down, your back's up against the wall, you look just like Jesus. When things are going your way and you're ready to celebrate and break bread and have fun, and you look just like Jesus. When folk in your life are sick and going through trials and tribulations, you look and sound and think and act just like Jesus. That's his original intent. So when Paul picks it up in Ephesians, he's simply re-emphasizing what Jesus already taught, that you would look like him and be an imitator of him, act like him. The morning after that basketball game, we are in the weight room. And by the way, we get back to the hotel. We got to go in the back door to get back to the hotel because folk wanted to kill us. They wanted to kill us. No, I'm not kidding. They really wanted to kill us. And the police and FBI and everybody brought us back and put us the back door and went up to the rooms. And it dawned on me as I'm going up the elevator. I'm saying, "Man, they want to kill me too." Shucks. I'm the chaplain. <You know? laughs> But I was on the bus, you know. And so we go and knock on. I spend the rest of the night, hours, just going from room to room, knocking on doors. "Let me see your eyes. Let me see your eyes. Your eyes will tell me what's going on in your heart." Just kept knocking. Around about 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning, I went back to my room, and I felt okay then myself. And I went to sleep. I woke up early. Go downstairs to the weight room. And there's a dad in there, and this dad is working out, and I'm working out. And dad finishes work, and comes over to me. He says, "Coach, tell me something." He's a believer now. He said, "Why would God let this happen to us?" And I said, "Well, I believe the simple answer is true. Because he loves us perfectly." See, perfect love, John said in one of his epistles, in 1 John 4, he said that perfect love will cast out fear. But perfect love is different than the way I love Sugar. I don't know how to love her perfectly yet. I'm working on it. I promise you I am. But God loves us perfectly, which means he brings to us things that we don't like, understand, know fully about, want. He brings them, allows them to happen in our lives. Why? So that they'll mold us and shape us into an image that looks just like him perfectly. Picture this, if you will. Picture in my hand, in my right hand, is a perfectly shaped diamond the size of a softball. flawless. So big you can't make a necklace or a ring out of it. You just got to sit on a table and look at it. And that's God. That represents God. And in my other hand is an uncut diamond of the same weight, but it's uncut, rough. And then imagine this hammer is people in your life. And imagine this chisel is situations in your life. My friend, Dr. Ed Gomes, showed me this one day. He's a chaplain down at Liberty University. He showed me this, and it made so much sense. He said, George, God is using situations and people to chip away at you, to fulfill his original intent, to make you as one, to make you look just like him. Not be him, but to look like him. But to look like him. And what does he use such people? The people who were sweet to you, he used them to maybe introduce you to Christ. Everybody who raised their hand, somebody introduced you to Jesus somewhere along the way. Somebody did. God used a person there. He used a situation. Maybe you had a great success in your life and you found that it wasn't fulfilling. And even though you had made oodles of money and you had fulfilled great academic achievements and risen to the highest levels of your profession or your disciplines, you were still unfulfilled and empty. God used a situation to bring you to him. Chipped away at you. Maybe he used the other kind of people. Mean people. Ruthless people. People with malicious intent to chip away at you and shape you into an image that's just like himself. Whatever he did, whatever he used, his original intent was being fulfilled. Jesus picked it up in the garden. He said, Father, those who are going to get saved because of what the disciples did, make them as one with you too. Make them look like you. And it doesn't matter whether it's a percentage of change. I don't care what it is. It could be 0.00000001% more like Jesus today than yesterday. That's progress. I'm not telling you got to go from 0 to 60 in 4.5 seconds. I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you got to be perfected in who you are right now. I'm not telling you just because you ran to the altar this morning and you got your life straightened out today, you're not going to be tempted to backslide again. I'm not telling you that. But I am telling you this, that 0.00000001% more like Jesus is better than none. Amen. Today. Right now. That's what he was doing with Nicodemus. He was helping Nicodemus to look a little bit more like himself. So he had a phone call a few weeks ago. Young fella, he's been playing in the NFL for about 6 years now. And he called me up. He said, Coach, I need you to pray for me. I said, what are we going to pray about? He said, man, I'm having trouble with my family. My brother and my sister are arguing. My dad's health is not good. I got a personal injury myself. I'm not sure if I ever get to play back in the league again. I said, yeah, you got a lot going on. I said, before I pray for you, I want to pray with you, but I need you to help me. And let's make sure your prayers are in the right order first. So just take a moment and tell me how you got saved. Now, I've known this fellow for 6 years. Actually, 8 years. He was in the locker room when I first got there in 2010. I said, tell me how you got saved. Nice guy. Faithful. He'd come to chapels and go to church. And he said, I said, you're toast. He said, what? I said, yeah. I said, imagine this. Let's say you showed up at the pearly gates of heaven. You died yesterday and your soul is waiting outside the pearly gates of heaven right now. And a voice says, why should I let you in? And you say, you're toast. Yeah, but I believed. You're still toast. Because nothing, your philosophy, your work, your religion won't open that door. Those gates won't open for you that way. There's only one answer that opens that gate, and it's Jesus. Jesus suffered on that cross for me. Jesus wore a crown of thorns for me. Jesus was stabbed in his side for me. Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a sinless, perfect life. Jesus was seen by many witnesses. Jesus was buried in a barn too. Jesus raised up on the third day and is alive forevermore. Jesus was eating fish on the beach with the disciples before he ascended like Iron Man into the skies. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And he said, I'm coming back. Jesus. I said, is that who you believe in? Is that what finished work you're trusting in? If the parachute you need to land when you jump out of the plane is anything other than Jesus, you're in trouble, right? Amen. Now on the phone, that young man received the full understanding of the gospel. Got into a right relationship with Jesus Christ and said, now let's pray. I said, now we can pray now. We can pray now. Have you ever been baptized? He said, well, you know, that's funny that you asked that because I came up in the church. I've been in the church all the time and I go to services and stuff. But I thought I'd given my life to Christ. He thought he was saved. He thought he was saved because of the good stuff he did. Because he was an NFL football player. Because he got a lot of money. He got 2 degrees from the University of Virginia, a master's degree and a bachelor's degree. And none of those are the key that opened the gate. They're good to have. I'm not discrediting any of that. Get them and turn them over to Jesus. Let him use it. This young man got baptized at his home church last weekend, I believe. Why am I telling you all this? Because whatever is in the way of you being shaped a little bit more like Jesus needs to go today. Whatever it is. Whatever's holding you back needs to be chipped away a little bit today. See, maybe that backslider I was talking about earlier, maybe that's you. Maybe it is. Don't be embarrassed. I came to some places in my life where I had to confess, man. I was like, Lord, you know what? I'm all tied up in knots right here. I'm sick and tired of the way I'm living. And nobody else know it but me. Everybody else think I'm doing just fine because of the way I carry myself. Maybe that's you. And you ready to just, instead of sliding back, you ready to run forward. I'm going to give you a chance in a minute to run to that cross. Maybe you're in this room today and you never received Jesus as your personal Savior. Maybe you were like me. You thought being around Christian folk was going to get it for you. Maybe you heard something this morning. That you want him. You want him. I want that relationship. I don't want a religion today. I want a relationship with Jesus. I want him to be known. I want to know him. I want to have fellowship with him. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're that one that says, listen, George, I got that thing covered, man. But I'm not discipling a soul in my life right now. Not one soul. I don't have one soul that on a regular basis I'm sitting down with, not a man for a man, not a woman for a woman, that I'm sitting down with and talking to them about Jesus and life, how they navigate through the waters of life the way Jesus helped the disciples to navigate through the waters of life. Discipleship. So that one day they do the same thing with others. Now, I know folk are on mission trips right now, and you got empty seats in the room because of that. I understand that. But when this church becomes a full-blood discipling church and everybody's discipling somebody, I mean everybody, everybody raised their hand, got somebody they're discipling. Do you know what that's going to do to your congregation? Are you ready for that? Do you want that? Maybe you don't want that. But if you do, this invitation is for you too. Because we're in a race. We're in a race. Folk are dying without Jesus that you know. Tell the truth. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but if I did, I believe at least one hand would go up if I asked you to raise your hand for somebody that died this year that you know that didn't know Jesus. Somebody's hand would probably go up in this room. I got the same testimony. I'm in a race. That's why I can't be swayed by white supremacists. I can't be swayed by Black Lives Matter. I can't be swayed by Democrats or Republicans, Independents. I can't be swayed by that. I can't be swayed by Virginia Tech or Virginia and rivalries. I can't be swayed by any of that. I don't care. I'll run up into the middle of the daggone Virginia Tech huddle and snatch a sinner right out. I don't care. I'd do the same thing. KKK, Black Lives Matter, I don't care. I don't care what it is. Why? Because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Because they loved not even their own lives unto death. That's why the blood and the testimony was so strong. Because they didn't care if they died. What are you willing to risk for the gospel? What? What will you lay on the line? What was risked for you? That's what we're supposed to be about. That's why he puts that chisel on me. Because sometimes I just harden. I get my shell of heart. I ain't chiseling nothing off of me. Nothing chipping off of me. I'm solid. Big George. Rock. Boom. All God does is get a bigger hammer and a sharper chisel. Because his original intent has already been exposed. He wants you to look just like him. We're going to close here. I know I've been preaching too long. We got to go. But if you're here today, and maybe you've never been baptized, you've never been born again, and you want that today, this is your time. Maybe you're here and you've never discipled anybody, but you want God to move you to that next step. To where you have people like you saw Devin Hall up there, got baptized. So you want to be that one who's there doing that baptism. You want to be that one who's there saying that's a soul that the Lord used me to lead to Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe that's you. Or maybe you're that backslider I've been talking about. And your habits got the best of you. Not your heart. It's not your heart, no. It's your habits. You want to break free. You know, one of the great scriptures of my life was when I read that Isaiah said that he came to heal the brokenhearted, to preach recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are in bondage, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus stood up in the temple and proclaimed the words of Isaiah, and they threw him out. Don't throw him out today. Welcome him in. Run to him. I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads for a moment and just quiet your heart. And this is a decision-making time. Somebody around you, in front of you, behind you, maybe making a decision that's bigger than any decision they've ever made in your presence before. So out of respect for them, not for me, respect for them. Bow your head, close your eyes, give them some privacy in this moment. And if either of those invitations that I gave represents you, I want you to simply respond to it after we pray by just raising your hand where you are. And the prayer I want to pray for you is like this. This is the prayer I prayed the day I got saved. God used an athlete to preach into my life one day. I went back to my room. There's nobody else there. I got down on my knees and I said, Lord Jesus, I'm sick and tired of the way I've been living. I need you. I've heard about you my whole life and I've acted like I knew you and I've acted like I loved you, but I really didn't and I'm sorry. I lied to you. And Lord, today I want to change all of that. Today I want you to come into my life. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I really believe everything the Bible says about you. It's true. I believe that it's without any error at all. And I want you to be the Lord of my life. I believe your blood was shed for me. I believe you rose from the dead so that I could rise in new life too. And I want to get baptized. I had to get baptized a second time because the first time I really didn't know what I was doing. And it's okay. And I receive Jesus into my heart and never been the same since. Now, with head still bowed and eyes still closed, I'm the only one looking right now. Please, just hold in there. You're doing great. You're doing great. If you prayed to receive Jesus Christ and agreed with that prayer that I just prayed with you for the first time in your life, just slip your hand up. We're still in prayer. Heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. If you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, but something happened and you started to slide backwards, and instead of sliding, you're ready to put the brakes on, and not just put the brakes on, but ready to run forward and run to the cross. And that's you. If that's you right here today, don't be embarrassed. You're free from that. Don't be afraid. You're free from that. You're loved. If that's you, just get up out of your seat and come to the front. Just come to the cross. Now, the third invitation that I'm going to give you is this: to be a disciple maker. You're in a strong relationship with Jesus, but you're not discipling a soul right now, and you want to change that. And your prayer is, Lord, make me a disciple maker and send disciples to me to disciple today. If that's you, if that's your prayer today, I want you to run to the cross. Just get up out of your seat and come on now. Come on. Everybody else, just keep your head bowed and praying. If it ain't you, don't worry about it. Just come on. But if it's you, get here as quick as you can. Amen. If we have any lay ministers or deacons or folk that are real strong and experienced in prayer, if you'd come on up and pray with these folks for a minute, I'd love that. That'd be great. Sugar, would you join us and help us out here too? The ladies? Okay, we got it. Okay, mother got it. Now, the last invitation I'm going to give is for the chip. Maybe there's something in your life that you've been hardening up about, and the Lord is chipping it away today. Maybe there's a habit that had to get broken today, and it got broke. Yoke broke today. Maybe there's that little piece in your heart, that little frustration, bitterness thing that you've been holding on to one day too long. And today, he took the hammer and the chisel, chipped it off of you. This is your opportunity right now. Just come on up to the altar and just let your chips fall where they may. We're going to let these folks continue at the altar for a minute. There's some real strong ministry going on here right now. In Jesus' name, I say amen. And if you just look up here and see what your prayers have been producing, you see what's happening here. This is glory. This is shout time. This is hallelujah time. This is clap your hands. This is get excited time. This is good news. God's breaking yokes. He's changing lives. All right, let me put it another way. If it was the fourth quarter and your team just scored a touchdown and won the game, how would you act? Yeah. That's right. That's right. Rise up to your feet. Rise up to your feet. Come on. Rise on your feet. Rise up on your feet. Rise up on your feet. And just celebrate for a moment the goodness of God. I want to say three words. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Fast as you can. Ready? Go. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All right. Faster than that. Go. Come on. Faster. Isn't that sweet? That's who we serve. Give him praise this morning. Give him praise. Give him praise. Thank you, Lord. 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 Pastor Hemp, how you want us to close out here?
We're going to sing one more time. Cornerstone. My hope. blood and righteousness. I dare not.